Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
Yeah, it's great to be back. We've got a really fascinating one today.
We really do. Because, you know, when we think about the fundamental architecture of biology, we generally picture the cell membrane as this heavily fortified castle.
Right, like a billion-year-old barrier.
Exactly. It's this complex lipid bilayer that specifically evolved to, well, keep the inside in and the outside out. And for decades, the baseline assumption has been that any loose, unpackaged genetic material floating around in that extracellular moat is completely harmless.
Yeah, totally harmless. I mean, the dogma has always insisted that naked genetic material is just locked out by default. It can't breach the castle walls.
Right, because to cross that lipid barrier, we've always said RNA requires this highly engineered Trojan horse, right? Some kind of protective vehicle to get inside.
Exactly, otherwise it just gets destroyed.
So I want you to imagine, just for a second, if that fortress actually had an open door. Think about what that would mean for your own body. What really happens when our cells are surrounded by loose, unprotected RNA?
It's a wild thought.
It is. And how could discovering that open door completely rewrite our understanding of autoimmune diseases and maybe even the entire future of mRNA therapies?
I mean, it's a totally paradigm-shifting question. The biological mechanisms we're looking at today, they really force us to tear down and rebuild the fundamental rules of how cells communicate with each other.
Absolutely. So today we celebrate the work of Mauricio Castellano, Juan Pablo Tosar, Mercedes Segovia, and their team at the Institut Pasteur de Montevideo and Universidad de la República in Uruguay, who have advanced our understanding of intercellular RNA communication.
Yeah, their work is just incredible. For those following along, we're unpacking their breakthrough open access article. It's titled, Ribonuclease Activity Undermines Immune Sensing of Naked Extracellular RNA.
And that was published in Cell Genomics, Volume 5, Article Number 100874, on May 14, 2025.
That's the one. And to really grasp the magnitude of what this research team accomplished, we kind of have to establish the scientific problem they were looking at, right?
Right, because RNA is notoriously fragile.
Oh, incredibly fragile. If you want a strand of RNA to survive outside a cell and actually deliver its instructions to a new cell, the consensus has always been that it needs heavy armor.
Like the lipid nanoparticles we hear so much about.
Exactly. In modern medicine, like with mRNA vaccines, human engineers package the RNA inside synthetic lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs. And in nature, cells actually achieve this by packaging their RNA into specialized protective bubbles called extracellular vesicles, or EVs.
So what happens if it's not packaged? What if it's just out there?
Well, that's what we call naked extracellular RNA. It's just raw, unpackaged genetic code floating in the void. And it's long been dismissed as biologically inert.
Inert, meaning it doesn't do anything. It can't enter cells efficiently.
Right. The scientific community just assumed it relied on this really rare, sluggish uptake process known as gymnosis.
Gymnosis. Basically the biological term for spontaneous, unprotected entry, right? Like sneaking in through the side door without a key.
Sneaking in is a really great way to visualize it. Gymnosis is basically a cell naturally taking up naked RNA from its environment. But the process was considered so slow and honestly so clunky that most researchers completely dismissed it as functionally irrelevant.
Irrelevant for any long, unmodified RNA strands, you mean?
Exactly.
But the researchers in Uruguay, they kind of flipped that assumption on its head by asking a structural question. What if the naked RNA isn't actually the problem?
Yeah, what if the problem is the environment it has to travel through? Because, you know, our blood, our biofluids, and even the standard fetal bovine serum,
which is the nutrient broth used to grow cells in almost every laboratory in the world, right?
Right, all of those fluids are absolutely saturated with enzymes called ribonucleases, or RNases.
RNases. So let's break that down. What do they do?
They are essentially microscopic biological shredders. Their sole evolutionary imperative is to just hunt down loose RNA and cleave the chemical bonds holding its backbone together. They literally chew it to pieces.
Wow. So they're just ruthlessly efficient at clearing out cellular debris.
Incredibly efficient.
Think of naked RNA like sending a paper letter in a torrential rainstorm. We always assumed the letter was unreadable because it wasn't mailed inside a waterproof box like a lipid nanoparticle. but actually it's just the rain the Arnis is destroying it before it arrives.
That's a perfect analogy. The scientific community basically failed to control for the rainstorm. In typical laboratory experiments, researchers use that fetal bovine serum to keep their cells alive.
And that serum is teeming with active RNases.
Exactly. So the naked RNA introduced during experiments was getting shredded into a molecular confetti before the cells ever even had a chance to interact with it. The conclusion that naked RNA was inert was entirely based on an artificial environment that was actively destroying it.
Which is such a brilliant narrative pivot here. To find out what naked RNA can really do, the research team just had to stop the rain.
Right. And they deployed this elegantly simple, yet highly critical methodological innovation. They added a broad-spectrum RNase inhibitor directly to their cell cultures.
So they literally just put up a chemical umbrella.
Basically, yeah. The inhibitor binds to the RNA-destroying enzymes and completely neutralizes them. This single step allowed the naked RNA to survive in the extracellular space totally unscathed.
Okay, so with the umbrella open and the RNA intact, they moved to test the cellular response. And they focused on mouse bone marrow-derived dendritic cells, or BMDCs, and human macrophages.
Yeah, and for you listening, think of these specific cells as the frontline sentinels of the immune system.
Right. Their entire job is to constantly sample their environment, looking for signs of infection or damage.
Exactly. So the researchers exposed these immune sentinels to completely naked, unpackaged RNA extracted from E. coli bacteria. They also used a synthetic naked double-stranded RNA called poly-IC, which mimics a viral infection.
And they didn't just stop at isolated cells in a petri dish, did they?
No, they didn't. They escalated the testing to an in vivo environment. They injected this naked RNA directly into living mice to observe the systemic immune cascade in a complex breathing organism.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate for a second. Let's ask how the researchers proved the RNA actually got inside the cells rather than just bumping against the outside of the cell membrane. Because if you pour naked RNA onto a cluster of immune cells, even with an RNase inhibitor, how do you definitively know it breached the castle walls?
Right. Could it just be tripping an alarm from the outside courtyard? It's a crucial question, and the team anticipated that exact skepticism. And the data they generated provides the first major finding of this deep dive.
Which is?
When the RNA shredders were neutralized, that naked bacterial RNA didn't just casually bump into the exterior membrane. It penetrated the cell and triggered a massive, highly specific inflammatory response originating from the inside.
Wow. Let's unpack the mechanics of that massive response, because it's essentially a biochemical screen for help, isn't it?
It really is. The BMDCs began releasing towering quantities of a pro-inflammatory cytokine called TNF-alpha.
And to translate that biology for a second, TNF-alpha is basically the equivalent of a chemical flare gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fired into the air to summon aggressive immune reinforcements to an infection site.
Exactly. And simultaneously, the cells radically upregulated surface activation markers known as CD40 and CD86.
So if the TNF-alpha is the flare gun calling for backup, the CD40 and CD86 markers are the cellular equivalent of arming the local guards, raising the drawbridge, and preparing the fortress for an active siege.
The cells were absolutely going to war.
And you're saying this alarm was definitively coming from inside the house?
Without question. To map the exact pathway of entry, the researchers introduced a chemical agent called Dinosaur. This specifically blocks a process called endocytosis.
Endocytosis. That's the physical mechanism where a cell membrane folds inward, right? Taking a literal sip of its extracellular environment.
Right, it pinches off a piece of itself to bring that sip inside, encapsulating the swallowed material in a little internal pocket called an endosome.
Okay, so when they chemically paralyzed the cell's ability to take that sip,
the massive inflammatory response vanished entirely. The naked RNA had to be physically swallowed into the endosome for the cell to detect the threat.
So the endosome is acting as a sort of secure processing room.
Exactly. And once the naked bacterial RNA was trapped inside the endosome of the mouse cells, it activated a highly specialized internal sensor called TLR13.
TLR13, or toll-like receptor 13. So if the endosome is the secure processing room where the cell interrogates whatever it just swallowed, TLR13 is the guard standing inside that room.
Checking the biochemical ID of the RNA, yeah. And when the guard recognizes the distinct molecular signature of bacterial RNA, it hits the panic button.
Okay, that makes sense. That's the standard mechanism of detection.
It is, but the subsequent discovery is what truly fractures the established dogma, because the naked RNA didn't stay securely trapped inside that endosomal processing room.
Wait, it got out.
It managed to orchestrate an escape. It breached the endosome entirely and leaked out into the cell's primary internal fluid, the cytosol.
That flips everything we know upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the entire reason human engineers spend billions of dollars developing complex lipid nanoparticles is specifically to force that endosomal escape.
Right. The whole assumption was that if RNA gets trapped in an endosome without a lipid delivery vehicle, it simply degrades. The fact that naked RNA can execute a prison break entirely on its own is staggering.
It really forces a complete reevaluation of cellular mechanics.
Absolutely. And the researchers demonstrated this endosomal escape beautifully in human macrophages using that synthetic viral RNA, poly-IC.
Oh, interesting. So what happened there?
They mapped the cascade and found that once the naked RNA broke out into the cytosol, it engaged a completely different set of sensors. Specifically, it tripped MAVS-dependent cytosolic RNA sensors called REGI and MDA5.
Okay, to carry our metaphor forward, the naked RNA sneaks through the side door, gets detained by the TLR13 guard in the processing room, breaks out of that room, and then trips the RGI and MBA5 sensors.
Which are essentially the elite secret service agents roaming the inner courtyard of the cell.
Right. But proving that a microscopic strand of RNA has physically relocated from a tiny vesicle into the main cellular fluid that requires an incredibly high burden of proof.
Proving spatial location at that scale is notoriously difficult. You need an undeniable litmus test. And that brings us to the definitive proof of the study, spontaneous translation.
Oh, this part is so cool.
It is. The researchers synthesized naked messenger RNA, or mRNA, that explicitly coded for a glowing protein known as nanoleukluciferase.
So they built a naked instruction manual for manufacturing a glowing protein. Yeah. And the beauty of this experiment lies in the machinery required to read that manual, right?
Exactly. Protein translation, the physical process of reading the genetic code and building the protein, happens on ribosomes. And ribosomes only exist out in the cytosol. They do not exist inside endosomes.
Ah, so the logic is airtight. If the cell produces the glowing protein, it means the mRNA absolutely, undeniably escaped the endosome, navigated the cytosol, located a ribosome, and successfully hijacked the cell's 3D printing machinery.
Precisely.
So did it glow?
Well, when they ran the experiment without the RNase inhibitor, nothing happened. The rainstorm destroyed the instruction manual before it even reached the cell.
Naturally.
But the moment they added the chemical umbrella to neutralize the RNases, the concentration of intact mRNA inside the cells skyrocketed 40-fold.
Wow.
And the cells physically produced the glowing protein.
Spontaneous translation of completely naked mRNA, no synthetic lipid nanoparticles, no engineered viral vectors.
Just a cell naturally drinking in naked instructions from the void, breaking them out of containment and reading them.
It really proves the billion-year-old barrier is fundamentally leaky. Naked RNA is wildly bioactive, capable of penetrating cells and directing protein synthesis entirely on its own, provided it survives the extracellular environment.
Right, but we've established that the mechanism works flawlessly in a controlled petri dish where we can artificially stop the rainstorm. But a living human body is not a petri dish. It's a chaotic, flowing system.
So they had to test this in vivo to see how the environment dictates the response. Because you can't simply turn off all the RNase enzymes in a living, breathing animal without causing catastrophic biological failure.
Exactly the issue. Our circulating blood is incredibly rich in RNase activity. It is a torrential, unending downpour.
So what happened when they injected the mice?
When they injected naked RNA directly into the bloodstream of the mice, the RNA was rapidly shredded, provoking almost no response. To spark a strong activation of B and T cells in the mouse's spleen, they actually had to co-administer the RNase inhibitor directly into the blood alongside the naked RNA.
Okay, so the systemic circulation definitely requires the chemical umbrella.
Right.
But the body has different microclimates, right? Like the peritoneal cavity.
Yes, the fluid-filled space inside the abdomen that cushions the stomach and intestines. The researchers looked at that space specifically.
And what's the weather like in there?
Well, the peritoneal cavity possesses naturally low RNase activity. By their biochemical measurements, it has 4.5 times less RNase activity than circulating blood. It's a light drizzle rather than a downpour.
So when they injected the naked RNA directly into that low RNase abdominal space,
the results shifted dramatically. It triggered a massive compounding inflammatory response entirely on its own. No chemical inhibitor was required.
Unbelievable.
The natural environment of the peritoneal cavity allowed the naked RNA to survive long enough to be swallowed by the resident immune sentinels. This caused a massive recruitment cascade, drawing waves of inflammatory macrophages and monocytes into the cavity to fight a perceived massive infection.
For you listening, Think about the everyday implications of this. Every time you get a scrape on your knee or fight off a mild cold, your own damaged cells are constantly bursting open, spilling their internal RNA into your extracellular fluids.
Which happens constantly.
Right. So if our immune cells are naturally primed to swallow naked RNA and violently sound the alarm, why aren't we in a constant agonizing state of systemic inflammation?
And that is the evolutionary genius of the system. The RNases in our blood are not just biological garbage disposals passively cleaning up random cellular debris. They function as a highly evolved, critical, regulatory arm of the immune system. They are the shield.
The rainstorm is there to protect us from our own leakiness. The body deliberately floods the blood with shredding enzymes to destroy loose RNA before it can trigger a runaway immune response.
Precisely. And this evolutionary shield perfectly elucidates the mechanics behind severe autoimmune diseases, with systemic lupus erythematosus being the prime example.
Let's talk about that. Walk us through the pathology of that loop. How does a disease like lupus exploit this mechanism?
Well, patients suffering from lupus frequently experience sterile inflammation. Their cells die and burst, releasing massive, overwhelming quantities of internal RNA and protein complexes into the bloodstream. This sudden flood of cellular debris is so vast that it physically overrides the RNA shield. The sheer volume of loose RNA exhausts the available shredding enzymes. The rainstorm simply cannot keep up.
So the protective shield drops. That naked RNA survives in the blood, gets swallowed by neighboring immune cells through gymnosis, escapes the endosome, and trips the internal alarms.
Exactly. And those immune cells then mount a massive attack against the body's own tissue, causing even more cells to die and burst, releasing more RNA.
Feeding a vicious, endless pathological loop. That is terrifying, but it makes so much sense.
The underlying architecture of the disease is a breached RNase shield. The chronic, severe immune response that characterizes lupus is driven by the spontaneous uptake of naked RNA. Currently, clinical trials are actually investigating RNase-based drugs, which is essentially pumping artificial rain into the bloodstream to restore the shield and treat these conditions.
The mechanism makes perfect, intuitive sense. But I want to push back on what this means to the future of therapeutics, specifically regarding vaccines. If our blood is naturally swimming with RNases, specifically to destroy naked RNA, aren't current LNP-based mRNA therapies still the only logical path for medicine? I mean, if we want a vaccine to survive the bloodstream, we must package it in a waterproof box, right?
For systemic intravenous delivery, the waterproof box definitely remains the gold standard. However, lipid nanoparticles are far from perfect.
They do have their issues.
Yeah, they carry significant inherent toxicities. They tend to accumulate heavily in the liver. The lipid materials themselves can trigger unwanted inflammatory side effects. And the manufacturing process to encapsulate RNA within them is incredibly complex, expensive, and difficult to scale globally.
So the waterproof box could be toxic, and building the box requires massive industrial infrastructure. So what is the alternative?
The alternative highlighted by this research is localized simplicity. For targeted treatment, such as an injection into a specific tissue that naturally harbors low RNase activity, like we observe in the peritoneal cavity, or perhaps via intradermal or intramuscular routes, naked mRNA might be entirely sufficient.
Wow.
Or, alternatively, by temporarily co-administering a localized RNase inhibitor at the exact site of injection, scientists could develop a completely new generation of naked mRNA vaccines that do not require any complex lipid packaging.
That concept alone could democratize vaccine manufacturing on a global scale.
Uh-huh.
Synthesizing naked RNA is relatively cheap and fast. Engineering lipid nanoparticles is the bottleneck.
Absolutely.
But we have to ground this in reality. Science is an iterative process. What are the limitations of this specific study?
The foundational limitation lies in the origin of the genetic material. The in vivo mouse studies relied heavily on exogenous RNA, meaning foreign RNA derived from bacteria and synthetic viral mimics. So to fully translate these findings to diseases like lupus, future researchers must meticulously test modulating the body's own endogenous RNA levels to confirm that self-RNA triggers the exact same pathways in the exact same manner.
There is also a critical species difference in the molecular guards checking the IDs, right? We noted earlier that the mouse cells utilize TLR13 to detect the bacterial RNA in the endosome.
Yeah, that is a vital caveat. TLR13, the specific endosomal sensor isolated in the murine models, is evolutionarily absent in primates, including humans.
Wait, humans don't possess TLR13, so how do our cells detect the breach?
Well, human biology utilizes a different set of endosomal sensors, primarily TLR7 and TLR8, to recognize single-stranded RNA. The researchers beautifully demonstrated the overarching principle of endosomal escape and cytosolic sensing in human macrophages using RBDi and MDA5.
Okay, so the cytosolic part holds up.
Yes. However, mapping the exact human-specific endosomal receptor responsible for detecting bacterial ribosomal RNA will require dedicated subsequent investigation.
Got it. So the overarching architectural mechanism, the open door, the RNA shield, the biological imperative of endosomal escape is proven. But the specific guard standing at the door simply wears a different uniform in humans compared to mice.
That encapsulates the boundary of our current understanding perfectly.
Incredible. So if we distill this entire massive paradigm shift down to a core realization, naked RNA is completely bioactive. It possesses the inherent capability to penetrate cellular membranes, execute an escape from endosomal containment, and translate functional proteins entirely on its own, provided it is not intercepted and destroyed by extracellular RNases first.
Yes. And furthermore, those blood-borne RNases are not merely a nuisance complicating laboratory experiments, but a highly evolved critical immune shield working constantly to prevent runaway, life-threatening systemic inflammation.
It fundamentally changes how you perceive your own biology. Your body is not a series of isolated fortresses. It is a bustling, chaotic ecosystem where the environment itself serves as the primary security force.
It definitely forces us to rewrite the textbook chapters detailing extracellular communication.
We leave you with this to ponder. What does this mean for the future of autoimmune therapies? And could the next great leap in vaccine technology actually require simplifying our delivery methods rather than making them more complex?
That question will undoubtedly drive the next decade of genomic research.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base. Slip free, hit the inner wire, and wake a pathway built.